Yesterday, Pope Francis created 17 new cardinals, and that is the proper technical word to create. And so it has given rise to a rather cynical Roman phrase that only God and the Pope can create something out of nothing. And I think it's kind of a little dig at the cardinals who were chosen like they were nothing, right? And made something by the Pope. So in the year of faith, which was in the year 2013, you'll remember that we had the resignation of Pope Benedict. And that same day, twice, lightning struck St. Peter's Basilica, the top, the cupola. They have it on tape and pictures and everything. And now we are today ending the year of mercy, actually ended a little bit earlier today in Rome, as they are 7 or 8 hours ahead of us. And the Pope closed the Holy Year door that had been opened for the year of mercy. And remember, on October the 7th, lightning did strike again, the Dome of St. Peter's. That was the feast day of Our Lady of the Rosary. So don't underestimate the power of the Rosary, all right? So I think these are just some little atmospheric signs of God's blessing upon us and showing His power in our midst. And the Holy Father on Fridays during this year of mercy did all sorts of special visits to highlight what mercy is all about. He went to prisons, he went to nursing homes, he went to hospitals and neonatal units and all sorts of places where people were in some kind of need of mercy, and showing us how we can have mercy upon one another and upon the wider community around us. And it just so happened that I was able to go to Angola State Prison this past Friday. I've been a few times, and I think I've told you all the story before, but maybe some of you didn't hear it, that when I was in Delcom, pastor there for the first time, I was about to celebrate Mass at St. Martin de Porres Church, a weekday Mass. It was February the 14th, Valentine's Day, and before Mass, I heard that there had been some kind of disturbance at the Fruit of the Loom plant in Abbeville, and that was in Abbeville. I was in Delcom, so I went ahead and started the Mass. And while I was preaching, our chairperson of the parish council, she was also a policewoman, she came in and she came all the way and sat in the front pew, so I knew something was up. So after I finished preaching, and I was preaching about my chalice, that was the anniversary it had been used, it was about the cup of suffering. That Jesus said, "Lord, let this cup of suffering pass from me, but not my will be done, but yours." So as soon as I finished preaching, I went over to her and said, "What's up?" And she said, "There's a hostage situation, and they're asking for a priest." And so I was thinking to myself, don't they have priests in Abbeville and Erath? You know, what are they coming all the way over here to Delcom? And so I told the people, well, we have to finish the Mass. Can't stop the Mass in the middle, but they need me. So this might be my last Mass, y'all, so let's celebrate it with some real fervor. And so I have to say I was a little bit nervous. But after the Mass, I got into a police jeep, and they brought me into a sugarcane field in between Delcom and Erath. And unfortunately, the hostage situation was actually over. This young man, 27 years old, Kerry Lede, had killed his ex-girlfriend in that Fruit of the Loom plant, and he had escaped out to here. He was surrounded by sheriff's deputies. He had a gun to his chest and was threatening to kill himself. They had been there for 2 hours, the deputies with him, trying to convince him to give up his gun. And I joined in on the conversation for another 2 hours. And it's actually when I saw the situation from a distance, 100 yards, I really felt kind of a guttural experience of compassion for him, mercy. And I said, "Lord, help me to help this young man." And so 4 hours talking, nothing was doing any good. Then I got the inspiration to give him my grandmother's rosary that I had in my pocket and to take off my scapular and to give it to him. And within 10 minutes, he gave up his gun. So 4 hours of just verbal communication, nothing working. 10 minutes with 2 blessed articles on his person, and he handed over the gun. That was really a miracle and the power of God's grace. So I visited him in the jail in Abbeville a number of times, and then he went off to Angola State Prison for life. And lost track of him, unfortunately. I didn't reach out to get in touch with him. I should have. But he reached out down the road, maybe 15 years later, to get in touch with me. So I was able to go and visit with him. I've been a few times now. And the beautiful thing is that he totally changed his life around. That he went to the New Orleans Theological Baptist Seminary program that they have there in the Angola State Prison, and has become a minister to his fellow inmates. So he has his own little congregation, you know, and it's a beautiful thing. There's a beautiful Catholic church there, Our Lady of Guadalupe, and the churches were all invited to come in, and it totally transformed the atmosphere in Angola State Prison. You know, there's 6,000 men there, and there's a lot of people, but it has totally transformed the place. Carrie told me that when he first started doing this ministry stuff and carrying a Bible, he was persecuted for doing that. But now it's the opposite. You almost get persecuted if you don't have a Bible with you. So it's a good kind of positive peer pressure that has totally transformed their culture. And the new warden there is totally in favor of it as well and is going to let that continue. So thanks be to God for that. But I think of that because of our gospel today. And the two thieves on the cross with Jesus, right? And somebody said that one died for sin, Jesus our Lord. One died in sin, the thief that refused to repent on Jesus' left. And one died to sin, the thief on the right, who did repent and did say, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. So this is really what the year of mercy is all about, that anybody can be forgiven for their sins. There's no sin that's so great that it can't be forgiven. The only way it can be forgiven is if we don't ask for that forgiveness, right? That's the only sin against the Holy Spirit, right? So we all have to realize that we're sinners, repent of our sins, turn our life around by the grace and the power of the Holy Spirit, and God will do great things in our lives and in our community as well and in our world. So do not underestimate that power of God's mercy. And so Jesus reigns from the cross. What about, we heard in our first reading today, 2 Samuel, about King David, right? He committed adultery and then he had Bathsheba's husband killed. He arranged to have him killed in battle. And so guilty of murder as well. And yet he repented of his sins. The Lord forgave him and he was a great king of Israel. So a good example there of repentance. And so Jesus reigns gloriously on the cross, not the typical kind of king that you would imagine, right? The people were expecting a political power king and a rich king and that kind of thing. And that's the opposite of what Jesus was. He is the king of love. That is what Jesus is. And he calls us to reign in love as well. That's his kind of authority, not that kind of power of the world, military power, but the power of love, the power of humility, the power of mercy, and all of these kinds of things that can totally transform us. That's the only thing that the devil can't use. The devil can't love. He can't be merciful. He's stuck in his self-hatred and pride. And so we want to be free of all of that and live in the merciful heart of Jesus. So the Pope said today, although the door of mercy has shut for the Holy Year, that not the door of the heart of the Lord. That is mercy is still always open and pouring out his mercy upon us. So Jesus said from his throne, which is the cross. See, Jesus' throne is the cross, not some golden throne, but the cross. He says to the good thief, today you will be with me in paradise. Why was that? Because the thief, the good thief, reached out to the Lord in faith and in recognizing the innocence of Jesus, our Lord, and telling the other thief, don't you see, you know, we're dying justly for what we did, but he's innocent. And so Jesus showed his mercy to the good thief. So we call him the thief that stole heaven, right? He stole heaven at the last minute. It's never too late for somebody to turn their life around. So if you do see somebody who is dying and maybe they've been away from the Lord, encourage them to make an act of repentance and faith in Jesus our Lord, and you can save a soul at the last moment of their existence, and they can go to heaven for all eternity incredible, incredible gift. So we should all be active in that ministry to the sick and the dying among us. So you heard that it said, it was written above Jesus' head on a little sign there, the King of the Jews. And John the Apostle says it said, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. And that's why we have INRI at the top of the cross, right? Those are an acronym. It's the first letters of those words in Latin, right? They didn't have a J in the Latin language. They had an I only. So the I is like a J. So it's Jesus of Nazareth, Rex means King of the Jews. Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. So it was the accusation that they were accusing Jesus of, that the Romans were saying, you can't be a king. Only we have Caesar as our king. And yet it was really a statement of fact. He truly was and is the King of the Jews and the King of the universe as well. And so in 1925, Pope Pius XI established this particular feast day, Jesus King of the Universe, because of a lot of world governments that were becoming so secular and communist. And he wanted to show that Jesus is the true King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And so it was Jesus' obedience on the cross that trapped the devil. Somebody said that the cross was a mouse trap for the devil, because the devil's like a mouse, he's a rat. And Jesus is the true King of Kings. And see, the devil thought that he was going to defeat Jesus on the cross by killing him. But it was actually the opposite. Jesus, through his death, destroyed death forever so that we could enter into eternal life. He's the one who forgave sins. He's the one with the cross opened the gates of heavenly glory. That was the key that opened up the gate that had been locked because of the sin of Adam and Eve. You know what Adam's sin was? He wasn't defending the garden. God gave Adam the role of defending the garden. Where was Adam when the devil was tempting Eve? He was hiding because he was afraid of dying by this serpent, dragon. It also has this sense of a dragon, of this beast that can kill you. And so Adam was hiding. He was afraid of death. But Jesus was not afraid of death. And he accepted that and showed that that was the key and the doorway to eternal life. We heard in Colossians today that the Father has delivered us from the power of the kingdom of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. He is the image of the invisible Father. He is the image and the face of mercy around us. So let us be his faithful subjects. Let us follow behind him, carrying our crosses, right? And doing the good that we can and being merciful and sharing that throughout the whole world. I think next year is shaping up to be a really powerful year, 2017. I think I've already told you it's the 500th anniversary of the Protestant Reformation, 100th anniversary of the apparitions of Our Lady of Fatima, 50th anniversary of the Catholic Charismatic Renewal, which I want to talk to you all about at another Sunday. Today I couldn't do it, got scripture readings didn't fit with it. But I also realized something just the other day, that Pope Francis says we've been living in the time of mercy since 1984, when Pope John Paul II consecrated the world to the Immaculate Heart of Mary, which was requested by our Blessed Mother in 1917 at Fatima. But not enough bishops united themselves to the popes who had done it before. So it was only in 1984 that Sister Lucia, who was still living, one of those three visionary children, she said, it has been accepted. The one that Pope John Paul II offered in March 25th, 1984, was accepted. 5 years later, all those communist countries start getting rid of their communism, right? So we saw the fruits of that. But what I just realized when I said, if you subtract 2017 minus 1984, what do you get? 33 years, the life of Jesus. So I think 2017 is shaping up to be a beautiful and a powerful year. We pray for God's extra graces to come down upon us and for many, many souls to come to the mercy of God, the King of Kings. So let me conclude with this poem. Hail, Redeemer, King divine, priest and lamb, the throne is thine. King whose reign shall never cease, prince of everlasting peace. Angels, saints, and nations sing, praise be Jesus Christ, our King, Lord of earth and sky and sea, King of love on Calvary. Christ, thou King of truth and might, be to us eternal light, till in peace each nation rings with thy praises, King of kings. Amen.